find out a little bit what her answer was. I'll tell you that as we move along in this message. Forgiveness is what this message is about, and how we can give others the gift of forgiveness. Joseph, we're going to see at the end of our study in Genesis, in Genesis 50, that Joseph forgave his brothers. And as we looked at last week, Joseph is a picture in many ways of Jesus. And so we want to look today at why Jesus came into this world. He came to give forgiveness, this gift of forgiveness. And God invites each one of us to receive his gift of forgiveness, to believe it, that he forgives us, and then to reflect that forgiveness to other people. First of all, we want to look at Joseph. And before we do that, let me just remind us of a couple of verses that are in the story of Jesus in Luke's gospel. Aaron read for us from Luke chapter 1, and that passage goes on and talks about John the Baptist being born, and his father, when John is born, prophesies and says this in 176, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord." Now it's talking about Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. The Messiah came to give people forgiveness of sins. In fact, isn't that what the angels told the shepherds? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He came to save us, to deliver us from sin by providing forgiveness for us. So let's go back to Joseph to really get an understanding of what forgiveness is. Joseph forgave his brothers. Genesis 50, 15 through 21. His brothers here in verse 15 are seeking, as I saw it with Becky, this gift of forgiveness. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" They feared that Joseph might harbor this grudge because of what they had done to him. And what had they done? Well, for one thing, they plotted to kill him. And then they saw, hey, they could make some money from him alive. So they sold him into slavery. And then he went down to Egypt and was a slave and then ended up in prison. I mean, they were thinking, oh my goodness, you know, we thought about killing him and we made him a slave. And now, oh my goodness, now he's our Lord. Because when Joseph got out of prison, he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and Pharaoh said, "You're my right-hand person. You have all my authority over all the land of Egypt." And Joseph was made Lord over Egypt. And his brothers came to Egypt because they needed food, and they begged, and Joseph provided food for them. And now Joseph has brought them down to Egypt, and they're all living there. But Joseph is their ruler. Their dad has died. Will Joseph hold that grudge? And now he has the power to execute and kill them. I wonder what Nelson Mandela's captors thought, who had put him into prison for 27 years, when Mandela was released from prison, ran for president, and became president of South Africa. I wonder what those who had put him in prison were thinking. Probably similar things to these brothers. Would there be forgiveness from the ruler? And they beg him for forgiveness. In verse 16, they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father charged before he died, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive you, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you no wrong. Let me just stop. We don't know if Jacob really said that on his deathbed, but that must have stirred Joseph. I mean, they sent in this message, your father on his deathbed, on his final words were, please forgive your brothers. It's quite a line. I kind of don't think he said that, but he may have. And then they send this message and add to Jacob's words, and now please, Joseph, forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Verse 18, then his brothers also came in person now, and they fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. Those who had made Joseph a slave now come to Joseph and say, Joseph, we're your slaves. Just please, don't hold this against us. Don't kill us. Don't send us off to prison. Please forgive our debt. Now notice Joseph's response. He reaffirmed his forgiveness. He gave them this gift of forgiveness. At the end of verse 17, his first reaction to the message that was sent, Joseph wept when they spoke to him. He was kind of taken back, Joseph was, because Joseph had already forgiven them. When they first came down to Egypt, he provided food for them. And they came again when they were out of food. And this time they brought Benjamin, and he wept. And he said, it's me, Joseph. And he says, hey, it's okay that you've made me a slave, because God used it to bring me to Egypt for this present good, to save many people, to preserve many lives, to keep a remnant of your family alive. And he had been forgiving, and he had provided them far more than anyone else, and provided land for them, and made them rulers in parts of Egypt. Joseph had forgiven them. You know, and it's been like 17 years since he first forgave them. And so I think his weeping is, man, won't these guys get it? I've forgiven them. And it makes me think, you know, we have a God who has emotion. We know that because when he became flesh, he wept. And I wonder if today God might weep when we keep coming to him asking for forgiveness. And he says, oh, don't you get it? When you accepted my son Jesus as your Savior, you were forgiven. Your slate was clean from that day on and forevermore. So quit worrying about forgiveness. Live in the light of a clean slate. Don't let Satan put you on a guilt trip. Don't beat yourself up. When I've forgiven you, I've forgiven you. I gave my son for you. Accept the gift of forgiveness. And you may want to look at it each day, but accept that you have been forgiven. You know, one of the wonderful things, promises for us who believe in Jesus Christ, is that we are those who acknowledge that we sin. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, we can thank God that as we people who confess sin, we're forgiven. Our slates are clean. We begin each day anew and afresh, as forgiven, as cleansed, as whiter than snow before him. So let's just thank God that when we believe in Jesus, we've got the gift of forgiveness and it lasts forever. Praise God. Guaranteed. Now, the next thing that Joseph does in his reaction is he recalls two things that he knows. And these are two things that help us to forgive those who do evil, who harm us. In verse 19, Joseph knew that vengeance was God's role, not his. He says, Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place?" You see, ultimately, Joseph knew that their sin in hating him and selling him to be a slave was against God. And God was the one who would deal with them regarding that sin. In Deuteronomy, we find later that God has these words. He says, "Vengeance is mine, and retribution. In due time, their foot will slip, for the day of calamity is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them, for the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants." You know, revenge is a thing that's in the media today, getting back. But you know, that's not our role, particularly as Christians. Our role is not to bring revenge. Our role is not to be the inflictors of justice. Look at Romans 13. We find that it is God's role, and that God uses human governments to be the tools of him, his ministers, for vengeance. It talks about the human government that we're to subject to. And in Romans 13, 4, it is a minister of God to you for good. "But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the one who practices evil." God sees the practice of evil in our country. He sees it in the Middle East. He sees it around the world. And he is going to deal with it fair and square. And there's been times in our lives where I've felt that I've been treated unfairly, and I've wanted to, you know, even things up. And somehow, many times, God has steadied my hand and my mouth with this truth, that God's going to take care of it, and he'll do a better job than I could. And Joseph knew that it was not in him, it was not his role to bring vengeance to his brothers. That was something God would take care of. The second thing that he knew, and this is so powerful, is that he knew that what they had meant to be evil, God had intended for good. Powerful verse, verse 20 in Genesis 50. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." Joseph's brother's intent was to get rid of Joseph, to have him suffer as a slave, because they were jealous of him. They hated him. They wanted something mean and nasty to happen to him, and so they sold him to be a slave. And then they had some money, extra money. That was nice. But their intent was to inflict evil. But God, Joseph recognizes later, had a reason for his brothers to sell him to be a slave. And it was not to bring about evil and calamity and harm. It was to bring about good. And because Joseph became a slave and was taken down to Egypt, he was in Egypt when Pharaoh had these crazy dreams that God gave him. And so Joseph was raised from the dungeon, was able to come and tell Pharaoh the dreams and what they meant. And Joseph then was able to lead in the taking care of the harvest. What's the word I'm looking for? What? The famine. No. He stored up all the things for 7 years so that when the famine came, good was done. The world was preserved. The world, people said, you have saved us from death. He became a savior to the people of the world in their physical need of in the time of famine and starving. He provided life for them. And that was God's intent on having him be a slave in the land of Israel. And Joseph is now able to look back and say, hey, you guys, it's okay. What you did, God took and brought good from it. It's interesting in studying this verse where it says, in order to bring about this present result, the word bring about is a term that's sometimes translated made in Genesis chapter 1, I think verse 26. It says, and God created or made man in his own image. What did God make man from? Dust. God took this dirt and he brought about. He made man in the image of God. Noah took some wood. And he made a window for the ark that he framed in, that he molded, that he fashioned, he made. And God takes the evil that comes our way, and he takes it and he makes it. He brings about, he molds, he fashions it so that it brings something good. And this is the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And what is his purpose? That we might be conformed, molded, sculptured into the image of Jesus Christ. God's purpose in allowing the evil that comes our way is to help us in our character to be more like Jesus Christ, to reflect him. God is using the things that come our way to mold us, to fashion, to make us to become like Christ. And when we recognize that, it helps us, like Joseph, to be able to forgive those who bring evil and harm to us, because we know that God is going to take that and use that for good in our lives. What a wonderful thing that is. And I think of a couple situations. One, I got to continue my story, is that I did ask this 14-year-old if I could take her home after the Christmas caroling party. And she, oh, you already know the answer. She said yes. She somehow found a way to forgive this Ricky Yates. And over time, she's found a way to continue to forgive. And that is a wonderful thing. I think she kind of figured out, hey, God may have some good come from this relationship. But On a more serious note, Becky and I have been thinking, particularly this last week, how good God is. And we have had the opportunity, like Joseph this week, to kind of look back and to see God's hand. Because just a couple years ago, I did not get my contract renewed at the school that I was teaching. And I thought it was unfair. I thought this was you know, harm done to me, that I wouldn't have income. And I was upset. And I kind of knew this verse in the back of my mind, that God must have a plan. But what a joy it is now to say, wow, we can thank God for the calamity of losing a job, because He's worked it for good. He's put us here with the loving, forgiving group of people. That's His hand. And we can see and we can look back and we can say, thank you, God, for helping me lose my job, or else I'd still be stuck there in the congestion and the smog and the target of terrorism of Washington, D.C. Thank you, God, for putting us with these loving people here. And we can look and say, wow, God has brought Sadie up here and put Joel together. And we can say, wow, you know, what we thought was evil, God has taken and molded and used for good. And from this perspective, let me just say, it's a lot easier then to forgive those who fired me, because I have that perspective. And that's really a wonderful thing that God has given us at this point. But a lot of times, we don't get to look and see the good that's coming from the difficulty that we're in. We just have to believe it and know that it is true. For we know that God works everything together for good. And that helps us, that knowledge, to be forgiven, like Joseph, of those who intend to bring harm to us. And that helped Joseph to give this gift of forgiveness. And then in verse 21, we find what Joseph does to those who had ill-treated him. He says to them, "So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. Perhaps the greatest gift that we could give someone at Christmas is this gift of forgiveness. To tell them, you're forgiven. I don't hold this against you. We've got a clean slate together. It's so similar to what Paul writes under the inspiration of God for us today in Romans chapter 12. Verse 18, it says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men." And then, this first thing that Joseph knew, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I'll repay," says the Lord. And then to do like Joseph did, verse 20, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." What in the world does that mean? It seems like it's kind of an opposite thing. You're being nice to someone, you're giving them food, you're giving them water, and then you're dumping burning coals on their head. That doesn't seem to fit with the food and water. And some scholars have thought perhaps what it means is you're kind of putting them in the coals of shame. You're making them feel bad that they've been inflicting harm on you because you have responded under the power of God in loving them, in forgiving them, in doing good to them. And that has put on them a sense of shame so that they might respond and accept your forgiveness. The next verse does say, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. You know, we have two ways to respond when evil comes our way, when harm comes at us. One is we can be overcome by it. We can get bitter. We can get resentful. We can get back where we want to get back. And that's letting the evil overcome us. Or we can respond to the evil and saying, you know, God is going to work this out for good. And we come response with, let God chisel away at my character that I might be more like Christ. And we overcome evil by doing good. We go out of our way to be nice to people who've hurt us. And I still remember as a young man hearing John MacArthur, when he was a young man, say that one of the best ways to respond when someone does a cruel thing to you is be nice to them. Give them a gift. I still have that in my mind. That's overcoming evil with good. Indeed, one of the things that we need to have on our Christmas list is a list of people who've hurt us. And put their name and then the gift, forgiveness. 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 And we show that forgiveness then by being good to those people. That's what Joseph did. That's what Paul tells us to do. And that is what Jesus came to do and what Christmas is all about. Jesus provided forgiveness for us. When Jesus came into the world was a mess like today. There was police brutality. The Romans would stop riots by anybody that got out of line. They would kill them and they'd kill a bunch of other people too. And so there was this negative attitude toward the Roman police. And there were people with these little daggers that would go around and stab these Romans and run off into the crowd. There was a lot of injustices being done. Even the religious leaders were unjustly treating the widows and trying to siphon from them every penny they could get. It was a time of corruption. It was a time when the king of Israel could not be trusted. He was a bad guy. He even killed his own children because they might be a threat to his throne. The Roman emperor of the day said it would be better to be Herod's pig than to be his child. That's the situation of the world that Jesus came into. And he came to provide forgiveness for that world. In fact, when Joseph found out that his fiancée was pregnant and he was about to divorce her and end that engagement, the angel comes to him and says, hey, go ahead and marry her. Because that which is in her is of God. And you're to name the child Yeshua. Joshua. Jesus. Which means deliverer. Because he will save his people from their sins. And the world today is in sin. Just like that world. And Jesus came to deliver us from that sin. And to provide forgiveness. And that's why Jesus' mission was not done, as you know, by coming to the manger. His mission was done when he came to the cross. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he did that. He provided forgiveness for everyone in this world when he died on the cross. And the night before that death, when he shed his blood on the cross, he said to his disciples, this cup is my blood, which is given for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came and Jesus died so that man's sins could be forgiven. Wow, what a loving God we have. I had a friend who was a Muslim, and we would talk about religious things. And he said, you know, I worship the true God. My God is big. My God does not have to sacrifice himself. My God does not have to send his son to die. He's so big, he doesn't have to do those things. What Allah wills, Allah accomplishes, and what who Allah wants in paradise will be in paradise. It's all up to Allah. He is the great almighty God and one who pleases Allah through sacrifice might get to paradise. And I go, whoa, sounds like Allah's a big God. It made me kind of rethink some things. And I remembered a verse Connie's father-in-law shared with me yesterday that Jesus said that to the Father that he is the only true God. And eternal life is to believe in him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God sent. The only true God is the one who sent his Son to provide forgiveness. And you know what? The only true God is a loving God. And we know that he is loving because he gave up his own son to die in our place that we could have eternal life. That's love. That's proven love. That's the God that we have, the only true God. And there are people whose eyes are blinded who think that they have the right God. And God came and sent his son to forgive them. He loves them. And we need to forgive as well. Now, this forgiveness, it's a gift. And God only asks that we accept the gift. To have eternal life, we don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gunpowder around us with a thing to pull. For us to have eternal life, we've just got to accept the gift. You know, Joseph's brothers would not accept his forgiveness. They couldn't believe it. But all we have to do to be forgiven of all that we've done is accept the gift of forgiveness. To believe that Jesus paid the penalty for sin and that he has provided forgiveness for all. If we believe that, we're forgiven. It's that simple. Just take the gift and believe it. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And Paul put it this way, for by grace we're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. That God has given to us a gift. For by grace we're saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone would boast. It's a gift. Some of us here may not yet have received the gift. We're like Joseph's brothers. God can't forgive me. He hasn't forgiven me. And all God wants you to do is accept the gift. Receive Christ. And you'll have eternal life. You'll have forgiveness of sin. So Joseph forgave his brothers. Jesus will forgive any of us if we just believe and accept this gift. The third point is that for those of us who have accepted his gift of forgiveness, God wants us to forgive others. One verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, and a second verse, verse 13. I want to close with these two verses as we tie all this together. This is for those of us who've accepted the gift of forgiveness, that Christ has for us. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. For us who have been hurt, and it's easy to hold a grudge, these verses are for us. Colossians 3, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, that's us, many of us. Here's what to do. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive others. Father, we pray right now if there's one person here who has not accepted your gift of forgiveness, that they would believe and receive your Son's payment for their sin by faith. And Lord, for us who have received it, wow. Thanks for cleaning our slate. Thank you for allowing us to come to you to heaven, for giving us eternal life. Help us to understand that forgiveness to the extent that we want to forgive those who've hurt us. And God, help us. Help us each to continue to forgive, to overcome evil with good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.